Now let's consider Smith's further development of supply and demand reasoning, and this will be Book 1, Chapter 7. And this chapter is called Of the Natural and Market Price of Commodities. Smith lays out a concept of what he calls average or natural rates of wages, profit, and rent. At these prices, supply meets demand. But more conceptually, Smith is thinking of these average rates as representing some kind of long-term historic average to which the system returns what a modern economist might call mean reversion. Sometimes when reading this chapter, I have the sense that Smith still has too static a view of the world, and he doesn't quite yet see that the Industrial Revolution is going to push economies away from these historic averages really forever and never letting them come back. In any case, Smith in this chapter shows that he understands adjustment mechanisms of supply and demand pretty well. For instance, if the current market price is below the average or natural price, then there will be less labor supply to produce that good or service, and in the long run that will lead to a restriction of supply and price will return to its average or natural level. The most important thing about this chapter, in my view, is simply it shows how well Smith really did grasp supply and demand. Smith, by the way, puts forward an interesting hypothesis later on in this chapter. It's one you won't generally find in modern economics, but it's interesting to look at Smith precisely when he deviates from contemporary reasoning. And Smith suggests that when prices move in the short term, most of the short-run adjustment burden of those price moves, it's going to fall on capital and labor rather than land rents. In Smith's view, when bargainers and traders set land rents, they're really looking much more toward these longer-run historic values, and land rents will stay closer to their long-run historic averages, whereas the prices of capital and labor are more likely to be volatile. That's an interesting hypothesis, but it doesn't in any simple way fall out of current theory. For instance, a modern economist might be more inclined to wonder, well, land maybe here is the inelastic factor of production. Land cannot be taken somewhere else. So maybe when prices change, maybe more of the burden falls on the inelastic factor of production, in this case, land. In any case, as I said, this is a good chapter to read to get a sense of Smith's understanding of the nuts and bolts of adjustment mechanisms and also supply and demand.